Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. You can have a seat. As you're having a seat, why don't you turn with me in your Bible or turn on your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, is going to be on page 813. And today we're going to conclude our walk through this chapter, this study that we've called Proximity. In this series, we've been taking a closer look at what happens when Jesus gets into close proximity with people and the way he changes people's lives who get into close proximity with him. And last week, we looked at how the disciples experienced the power of Jesus in a way that they would never forget when they were in close proximity to him while they were in a boat and this massive storm engulfs them. And Jesus exhibited his power over the wind and over the waves. And he just said, "Be still," and it was still. And today we're going to see how Jesus demonstrates a different kind of power, a superpower in a supernatural encounter when he comes into close proximity with some guys who met him and who met the other disciples once they got out of the boat and got off the water and onto the shore. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to have a superpower? I mean, if you could have any kind of superpower, what would it be? I mean, would you want to be able to fly like Superman or have supernatural strength like the Hulk or have superhuman speed like the Flash or be able to walk on walls and shoot webs and fly around all over the city like Spider-Man? That'd be pretty cool. But while all those superpowers are all make-believe, Jesus' superpower is real. It is real. And what Jesus does in our story today, and what Jesus has been doing all throughout the close proximity encounters that we've been seeing in Matthew chapter 8, they all are real, every single one of them. And the superpower that Jesus demonstrates today is over something that is happening in the supernatural realm. Let's read the text and let's watch this close proximity encounter that Jesus has with a couple of guys once they reach shore. In Matthew chapter 8, we'll finish out the chapter starting in verse 28. It says, "And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, 'What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?' Now a herd of many," what? "Many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged Jesus, saying, 'If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs.' And he said to them, 'Go.' So they came out, and they went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this story is told in Matthew. It's also told in Mark and in Luke. And all of them tell how this story happened right after Jesus stilled the storm in the boat on the water. And while each, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all have some different perspectives on this story, It's the same story. It's kind of like a news story being shown on ABC and NBC and CBS. That's the same story, but they may have some different details that one covers that another does not. But it's the same story. For example, Matthew talks about how there was this herd of pigs mentioned in the account. We just read it. If you read Mark's version of the story, he tells us there were 2,000 pigs. So, I mean, there's a lot of pigs. The same story, but with some different details from a particular point of view. For my artist in the room, let me see what that pig looked like when that demon hit it. That'll be an interesting pig. That's one bad pig. And if you look at all the stories, which you need to look at all the stories and take all the details, scholars then can piece together the specifics of the actual place on the hillside where this supernatural encounter took place and where Jesus demonstrated superpower over the supernatural that was affecting these two men who came out from living in the graveyard, in the tombs just off of the shore in a spot that was about 6 miles across the water from where they set off. They set off, if you recall, in Capernaum, and now they've landed on the other side of the shore in this place called the Gadarenes. I was at the Gadarenes. Do we have that picture in there? Is that back there? Yeah. So this right here is actually on the shoreline of Capernaum. This is where they pushed off from. If you can see across the way there, they're going across to what you see in the distance. That's about a 6 mile boat ride. A little 3 hour tour. Here we go, Gilligan. On the other side. Once you get to the other side, this is what you see. Go to the other side. Yeah. So I'm standing up on top of the hill and I'm looking down. It's hard to see here, but if you look across, you can see Capernaum on the other side. You can see we're on the top of a hill. Keep going right here. That is the region of the Gadarenes. That city right there is also known as Cursi, K-U-R-S-I. Cursi. That's where Jesus steps out of the boat and meets these guys coming out of the tombs who are demon possessed. Go to the next one. And you'll see, that's the hill. That's where the pigs were grazing. So when Jesus says, go to the demons, there's pigs, 2,000 of them on that hill. And if you turn around, this is what you see when you look down. You see them running straight down the hill. And what's at the bottom? Do you know what that is at the bottom? That's the Sea of Galilee. Just like the scripture says, it's right there. N.T. Wright has some insightful thoughts on what has been taking place here in Matthew 8 that leads us to this point in the life of Jesus. This story of Jesus using his impressive power over the supernatural that was possessing these two men in a more vivid version of the one that we were just talking about when he was on the water. Remember what he just did before he steps out of the boat onto the shore here? He stilled what? He stilled a storm, right? He exercises power over the wind and over the waves. Think of that huge storm that he just said, be still. Think of if it's inside of a person. That's demon possession. The wind and the waves going crazy inside of someone. It's not a bad image of how it is for some people who find that for whatever reason, that their imagination, their emotions, their thinking, their acting seem to have been taken over by forces beyond their control. And N.T. Wright goes on to suggest that today we struggle, particularly in the modern Western world, to explain what's going on inside of people like that. In Jesus' world, and in many parts of the world even today, the most natural explanation is that some evil force or forces have taken over. And demons and possession by such creatures was a regular way of describing that condition. Modern Western medicine has found alternative diagnoses for many people in those kinds of turbulent states, but there remain for some whom this ancient explanation still seems to be the best explanation of what is going on inside of someone. And so the point of this story that wraps up all of the close proximity engagement Jesus has throughout chapter 8 is that Jesus, the one who has authority to teach people, as he was doing on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, also then comes down from the mount and has authority over all kinds of diseases, authority over the lives of people who want to follow him, and authority over the winds and the waves, and authority over the shadowy forces of evil, however we think about them or describe them. And that's what we need to dial into this morning as we sign on to follow Jesus. He's not just somebody with good ideas. He's not just somebody who's going to help us figure out how to have a better life. Jesus is somebody who has authority over everything that the physical world on one hand and the non-physical world on the other hand can throw at us. He is the ultimate authority. Therefore, Jesus can be trusted with every aspect of our lives. And this is a Jesus who lives and demonstrates great power, unique power, power that only can be explained as coming from God. And that's exactly what we hear in this story. Did you catch it? Did you notice what those two demon-possessed men yell out when they get into close proximity with Jesus once he gets out of the boat and onto the shore? Look again at verse 29. And behold, they cried out, "What do you have to do with us?" Who? O Son of God, have you come here to torment us? When? Before the time. Wright goes on to make an interesting observation. It's interesting that the first people to address Jesus in this way as the Son of God do so under evil oppression. And one thing that's so interesting, please hear me, and that is so important to me, is that Jesus, gosh, he's so good. Do you realize Jesus never blamed a person for being either diseased or demon-possessed? Jesus recognized these people as victims. Victims of powers beyond their own control and as in need of deliverance. You will never find victim shaming or victim blaming from the lips of Jesus. He gives no condemnation to people who are living under that weight. Why? Well, I hate to keep bringing up the Bible, but Paul says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8, 1. And Matthew would have no doubt that though the demons are evil and destructive, they do have access to inside information about the spiritual reality. We read about that in Ephesians 6 earlier in our time of worship today, remember? And they know something about Jesus. They know who Jesus is, and that according to what they said about him being here, to quote, torment them before the time, that meant that if the Messiah is here in close proximity to them, the end of their time, of their freedom, has come. And you know what? They were right. They were right. The Lord's supreme purpose in casting out the demons and Matthew's purpose in reporting it were to demonstrate Jesus's authority and power over Satan and his forces. Jesus has indeed come to put the forces of evil to flight. And what happens to these demons entering into the pigs on the side of the hill and then driving them into the lake is a sign of what Jesus will do in his death, burial, and resurrection with all evil of whatever sort you want to call it. And whenever Jesus is mentioned, and wherever Jesus goes, you need to know this. He is a force to be reckoned with. Students, on your t-shirt from Disciple Now, it says what? Unleashed. The reason the Son of God came to earth was to be unleashed on hell and to destroy the works of the devil. And you have been given fullness to be his ambassadors, little unleashed followers of Jesus. That's not in my notes, by the way, but that's just true. Jesus is a powerful force to be reckoned with, and the demons in this story acknowledged that they knew that there was a divinely appointed time that had not yet come when Jesus would indeed judge them and punish them with eternal destruction. And men and women, as we live our lives under the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit, guided by the Word of God, daily walking in close proximity to Jesus, we can be demonstrations of His power as we find ourselves in close proximity to other people who need to know Him. Students, I was sitting there in the same session with you yesterday when your Disciple Now speaker was saying, get out of your comfort zone and go tell people. And he said, take out your phone and write these things down. I took my phone out. I wrote all five of them down. And then he says, you got to be bold. We're going to have all of eternity to enjoy. Start today enjoying, but be bold and tell somebody about who Jesus is and what he's done. And one of the ways, men and women, that we can stay calibrated to the power of the Son of God that so mightily is at work within us is to remember what else Jesus did when he demonstrated the ultimate superpower over the ultimate super evil at the cross. We remember by taking the bread and the cup. And before we leave this morning, I want to invite you to remember with me. I want to invite our worship team back. I want to invite our deacons to come. And we're going to wrap our time up by remembering the bread and the cup. Moms and dads, grandparents, this is a great opportunity to help those little ones next to you understand that the bread represents the broken body of Jesus. The cup represents the blood of Jesus that was broken and poured out at the cross. Men, if you want to go ahead and begin to prepare the bread, I just love that Jesus works and teaches in such simple objects. Every child knows what a piece of bread is. Every child knows what a cup of juice or wine is. And Jesus, I think, would be very proud of what Dr. Bob Dean relayed to me this week. David, the truth is your what? Friend. The truth is your friend. And as we prepare to take the bread and we prepare to take the cup, know that what you are going to take represents the broken body of the truth and the poured out blood of the truth. And do you know when Jesus was standing before Pilate, he had a conversation with Pilate. And Jesus says, all those on the side of truth, listen to me. And you know what Pilate responds with? What is truth? I'll tell you, Pilate, the truth is your friend. And although people from his own tribe pushed him out into the light, Jesus stood there. He didn't go, well, let me float a media soundbite. Why? Because his time had not yet come on that. And the truth is your friend. And the truth is a powerful force that persuades by its own reality. You go, what do you mean? Well, if you keep going, you'll see Jesus be condemned to die with a broken body and poured out blood. And as they're hammering, you know what he says first? I'm not going to steal my own thunder from next week, but he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And they're throwing dice for his wardrobe. That's in hour one. But the truth persuades by the force of its own reality. And in hour six, the same guys that are shooting dice for his clothes, you know what one of them said? Surely this was the Son of God. There's a time to speak and a time to listen. And a time to remember. And don't ever forget that the truth is your friend. Father, as we conclude our time by remembering how good you are, may we take this bread and remember that you are the broken truth that was given to us, that we might be made whole. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.